What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your more pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is July 9th, and oh yes, we are going to talk about baseball. We have Jack Flaherty. We got some Jack Clarity yesterday as he had a great game against the Rays. 6.1 innings of 2 earned runs, 7 hits, and 1 walk with 8 strikeouts. 16 whiffs, 34% CSW, and 93 pitches. What is really good about this one for Jack Clarity is that his curveball was amazing. 52% CSW on this one, 9 over 27 whiffs. It's what you want to see. What's also really interesting to me is his usage in 2 strike counts is kind of odd. You have 4 seamers being thrown more often, and they are not a good put away rate pitch. And then you also have sliders not executing those 2 strike pitches as well as you like to see. So we saw a bad slider in a 2 strike count. We saw a home run off of a 1-2 fastball that was terrible right down the middle to Rondon in the first inning. Those are little things that I feel are adjustments, but the curveball being so good and the fastball actually being this really high strike and CSW pitch as well led to this one, and you should feel really good about Flaherty moving forward. Yes, I know the 1.33 whip is not fun. The hit per 9 should come down in time. Feel good about this with Flaherty, and for those who are looking back at the net last month or so and going, I don't know if this is really going to stick, this is good or not. Yeah, this is very good. It was 2 games of 1,500 runs where he was clearly tipping. We're good now. Nathan Eovaldi against the Angels got the win. 6 innings of 0 runs, 5 hits, 0 walks, and 6 strikeouts and 72 pitches. This is his rehab, and the first game was under 50 pitches, and since then he's gone 5 innings and 6 innings of great baseball for you. Nathan Eovaldi, don't ever leave us. Again, Will Warren against the Mariners got the win. 5.2 innings of 0 runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 4 strikeouts. Just 5 whiffs, which is a little disappointing, understandably so. But the 4-seamer and the sinker command was much better. And I really do think that we're going to see the sweeper, the curve, and the changeup perform better than 2 over 38 whiffs moving forward. The sweeper was more of a called strike pitch in this one. That's fine. But we really do want to see those put away pitches so they can get more than 4 strikeouts. You have Nick Pivetta against the Diamondbacks. 5.2 innings of 0 runs, 2 hits, 3 walks, and 7 strikeouts. It's so nice to see Pivetta have a successful time without allowing a home run. That is the biggest thing that I'm just worried about for Pivetta. As again, he's had an ERA above 4 every year of his career. He's not there now. He's close to 3. And it's all about those home run rates. So hopefully we get there. We also saw a sweeper, just a 43% strike rate. But it worked against right-handers when he did throw it. It really is just the 4-seamer looking so good upstairs and the curveball down. For Pivetta and the fastball also doing well against right-handers. Siemian Woods-Richardson against the Cubs got a win. He got the gold star too. 5 innings of 0 runs. 2 hits, 3 walks, and 4 Ks against the Cubs, mind you. He did it also in 61 pitches because the Twins give him such a short leash that we really can't expect him to do well on a given night. In those pitches, be efficient enough to go 5 innings to do it without bad ratios or anything like that. It's nice. It's a birthday party. Comes around once a year and we celebrate. But you really should not be leaning into this with Siemian Woods-Richardson. There really isn't anything to get excited about. Merrill Kelly has done really well for you. He is, you could say he's the Spider-Man. I think he's a little bit better than that. That is the best Toby of the 2025 season. Toby Maguire, the best Toby there is. 7 innings, 1 run, 4 hits, 0 walks, and 4 strikeouts. This was against the Padres. You did your good thing. You have a great defense behind you. It's all fun, and you just keep rolling with it. Oh my gosh, speaking of fun, Jacob Mizorowski, we call him J-Miz. 6 innings, 1 run, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 12 strikeouts for a win against the Dodgers in Milwaukee. 21 whiffs, 40% CSW across 91 pitches. He got the golden goal for the night. He got 0-2 to Ohtani to start the game. He threw one of the greatest curveballs I've ever seen at 90 miles per hour back foot. It was unreal. So Mizorowski, he got a little bit, a little confident here. Okay, I'm going to strike out Ohtani with the same pitch I just threw to him. And he throws an 88 mile per hour curve. Maybe it was 86, but it was not nearly as good. It was well over the plate and Ohtani hit it out. And that was it. That was the only run of the game given up by Mizorowski. So it was 6 shutout with 3 hits. 1 walk and 12 strikeouts after that. Oh my gosh. He's just stupid good. And the thing is, in the preseason I wrote, if he can go 65% plus strikes, then he's a top 20 pitcher. End of sentence, right? Just stop. Full stop there. But the thing is, he's actually top 10 or top 5. Because the curveball and the slider are just that good too. The slider he threw to Mookie Betts to strike him out. Oh my gosh. It was 97 that started over the plate and was very much off of it by the end of it. At 97. And it was just, it was insanely good. So, you just start him. I mean, it's ace is going to ace, I guess, but I can't yet because we just did see the volatility last game. So we had three amazing ones and we were like, should we give him Mason's going to ace? And then, okay, we did see some more volatility last start. It was almost actually okay, but now he goes and does this against the Dodgers and it's like, you obviously you're just going to start him. So if he does another start like this, I think I'm just going to give him Mason's going to ace. I mean, let's be honest, guys. I don't know where I'm going to put him, but Jacob Mizrowski is just so dope and makes us feel dope. It's so great. Sorry for like saying things that doesn't matter for your fantasy teams, because if you have Mizrowski, great. If you don't, you're sorry. But Chris Bassett against the White Sox, 6 innings, 1 run, 4 hits, 1 walk, and just 1 strikeout. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? His cutter went 29% strikes with a 36% non-competitive rate. Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's called not having a pitch at all. Bassett had sinkers and curveballs, and even the curveball wasn't as good as you wanted to be. Yeah, I don't really want to go with Bassett. I'm happy that it was the White Sox, but like, it's just not really something you need to be rostering. And he gets the Giants next in Toronto, possibly after the All-Star break. If that's the case, fine. He'll be questionable. But I really don't think that Chris Bassett is very good. You have Jeffrey Springs against Atlanta. It was sunshine and rainbows here. Got the win, 6 innings, 1 run, 6 hits, 1 walk, and 2 strikeouts. Atlanta honestly was just like, oh, you want to throw a fastball in the zone? Sure, whatever. Come on in. Lots of called strikes here, 30%. And the changeup had a 47% chase rate. And then Koufax helped out with those fastballs and those changeups, and that was it. You don't really want to go after Jeffrey Springs. He's a desperate streamer. You have Robbie Ray going a Philly against Philly. That is 5.2 innings of 1 run, 4 hits, 3 walks, and 5 strikeouts. 12 whiffs, 21% CSW. He did have some careful Icarus here with 2 runners on when he left that were stranded, but he also did allow his first run in that 6th and just couldn't get through it. And it's so interesting because I've been saying, oh, Robbie Ray, you don't need to go 60% four-seamers. Like, you can go 40%, 45%. Trust your secondaries. So he did. And this was the game where he did not have those for strikes. The curveball was around 60% strikes, but the slider was a 53%. And the changeup was 47%. And he threw those total 60% with the curve. So maybe you should have thrown more fastballs at this one. But yeah, I appreciate you being productive regardless. Obviously, we like Robbie Ray. Eury Pérez, we certainly love too. This was in Cincinnati, so that lineup isn't very good. Fine. But he got a win. 5 innings, 1 run, 2 hits, 0 walks, and 8 strikeouts. Mm-mm-mm. We saw something new here. A sweeper from Eury Pérez. Not just the slider and the curve. And that changeup, by the way, that he still is trying to make work. He's trying really hard. He threw like 9 of them. And no, they were not good. I think it was 1 strike out of them. But he's trying against lefties. The sweeper is working against right-handers. And 4 for 11 whiffs. He had 2 strikeouts on that. There were only 2 of them that were really just not what he wanted out of them to right-handers. But then he had the curve against lefties not really exist. He tried a couple of them. 3 of them were just up and away and out of the zone. And then maybe the slider was really the helper. The point of the matter here is that Eury Pérez has a four-seamer that's at 98, and it's great. This is a foundational four-seamer that everybody wished they had. The only question is just what is he going to support it with? Right-handers, he seems like he's got down with his slider and his sweeper. Sweet. What is it against left-handers? The curveball has showed up in the past. Wasn't here. The sweeper kind of existed. The slider kind of did. That's going to be the thing moving forward. But he's at 88 pitches, 5 innings. We're all really happy with the area, and he should just keep getting better as the season goes on. Tywin Walker against the Giants actually went 4 innings of 1 run. I guess it's a birthday party for him because we expected nothing. And I don't even know if he's going to get another start because it could be Andrew Painter after the All-Star break. It could be Mick Abel back up. I don't know. I mean, look, the Phillies, the gamble paid off with Tywin Walker stepping in instead of Abel. So good job there, I guess. Brian Baio against the Rockies in Fenway. So this was Rocky Road. Even though it was Fenway, it still is a thing. And yeah, this was a complete game. 9 innings with a win, of course. 2 earned runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 10 strikeouts, 15 whiffs on 107 pitches, 34% CSW. This was a game that, I talk to Eric Samulski all the time, and you guys know he's a big Bayo believer, and I get it, and I want to be as much as he is. He was so stoked about this one. He was giving me all the roundup puns. We've done it before. We did Bayo Clinic and everything like that, right? But here's the thing. This was the game of his sinker attacking right-handers more than I've seen, I think, ever before, right? It was remarkable. 58% usage to right-handers, 68% zone rate, not strike rate, zone rate. And their worst chases out of the zone too, right? And then you have only two hits allowed on 34 of those sinkers thrown to right-handers. That's the attacking Bayo that we want. We don't want the nibbling one who's inefficient and everything. We want that. Cool. Now against left-handers, what are you doing? Well, four-seamers are there. Four-seamer is good as a surprise pitch upstairs. To be the foundational fastball, I don't think is great. The changeup also was okay. It had a sub-60% strike rate, had five whiffs on 14th thrown, but it was inconsistent. A third of them were non-competitive with 36% NC rate. That's really bad. And I don't really think that Bayo has a consistent left-handed approach yet. The cutter, not really a major player either. And this is a bit of rocky road here. Now you get the Rays in Fenway. I'm a little scared of that. And then you could be getting after the All-Star break at Wrigley for the Cubs and then hosting the Dodgers in Fenway. I don't think I really want to start Bayo for any of those three. So it could be a path of, oh my gosh, Bayo is figuring it out. I'm still not convinced, and I don't think that he is in a place that I feel confident in any of those three starts. So I'm really sorry to say that, but that's the status of Brian Bayo. All right, we have other guys to talk about, of course, from last night, and we're going to talk about all of them after this break. Mitch Keller, oh man, he went against the Royals, 6.2 innings of 200 runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 5 strikeouts. 24% sliders, both to lefties and to righties. I love that. Please do that more often. Maybe get it up to 30-35% because that is 0% non-competitive rate and your fastballs are dead zone. Please do that. This is the first time I'm like, oh, maybe there's something here because you're actually throwing them to both sides of the plate. You're not doing situationally. Do that. Seth Lugo just continues to be a phenomenal starter for your teams. 2.67 ERA and a 1.08 whip across 101 innings after last night's 6 innings, 200 runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 5 Ks. 82 pitches here. Yeah, just 5 strikeouts. I understand he's had like multiple 7-plus strikeout games the last like 4. But yeah, we're obviously happy about this. I wish he got a win, but you know, Keller. You have Clayton Kershaw not acknowledging Jacob Mizorowski, which is absurdly annoying, and he should, because Kershaw, it's on you to welcome in the next generation of stars in the majors, right? They're looking to you to put them under their wing and make it all work, and everyone's happy. Instead, you're going to be like, oh, who's Mizorowski, the guy that twisted his ankle? I mean, come on, man. 6 innings, 200 runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, and 3 strikeouts. You got a loss. You're not Tatiaga anymore. The ace is always going to ace. That's not you. Koufax had to help you out here, okay? The slider's down. That's nice. You throw 89. He throws over 10 miles per hour faster than you. Like, come on. Let's not big time, okay? Yeah, it's annoying. And also, Kershaw, I don't really trust. I don't even think that he's going to survive through August. I think he honestly came back to get 3,000 strikeouts, and everything else is just gravy at this point for his career. I don't think the Dodgers are banking on it either. Shota Imanaga against the Twins, 6 innings, 200 runs, 5 hits, 0 walks, and just 1 strikeout. How am I supposed to butter my bread with that? This was his splitter getting a 63% zone rate. That should not be that high of a zone rate. That is a high rate for a fastball. George Kirby's, I'm celebrating when it's underneath the 50% zone rate. For a splitter, that is especially a whiff splitter, should be down. It wasn't. But, you know, it still worked. Like, it's still hard to hit, so fine. But just, that's why you have fewer strikeouts. Ryan Pepiot against the Tigers, 6 innings of 200 runs, 3 hits, 3 walks, and 6 strikeouts. 15 whiffs, which is great to see. And 3 walks, I understand we're not really happy with that. He threw a sinker to right-handers, Pepio. It went 43% strikes, and I'm actually really, I don't know, it's really weird that it was 13 sinkers and only 8 four-seamers to right-handers. But again, it wasn't like the best four-seamer we've seen from him. Fine. I like that the cutter is still involved here. I like that the changeup's good. The slider, well, actually, the slider is just chaotic, and it's just, what are you doing here? But yeah, it's something where Ryan Pepiot is going to have his four-seamer moving forward. And this is also a productive start. So we don't have his final form yet. Get excited about him. Brandon Young did well against the Mets. 5.1 innings of 200 runs, 5 hits, 0 walks, and 6 Ks. Here's the thing. Four-seamer is 94-95, and it has 18 inches of vert with a average to above average height-adjusted VAA that is like somewhat flat, which means that 18 inches of vert is generally actually going to be a little bit better than your typical one. So that's cool. Thing is, he needs to make sure that he's elevating that properly. And his best pitch could be his changeup, which had 6 over 20 whiffs and 80% strikes with a home run. But it was against lefties. And so the lefty approach was good. The righty approach was not. It was very much, what is there? Are your breaking balls there? No, not really. I guess so. They're just... That is what you get against righties, and I don't love it. It's not a high four-seamer. So if you get a lot of lefties, if like he goes against the Nationals, that might be a very sneaky stream. However, he gets the Marlins next. We'll see how that goes. I don't really think that Brandon Young is the next thing, but if he is going high four-seamers, he can really nail that. With the changeup, it's kind of Paddock-esque, right? And that might work out well. If he does actually have something else outside of fastball changeup. Sonny Gray against the Nationals did well. 5 innings, 200 runs, 5 hits, 1 walk in, 6 strikeouts, got the win. Cool. He still has that sweeper that works really well to left-handers for strikeouts. Kyle Freeland, oh my gosh. Careful Icarus here. He had 5 shutout frames before a tough 6 and landed with 5.2 innings of 300 runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 6 Ks. Oh man, it's frustrating because he almost had it away from Coors, but yeah, it's... You didn't really expect anything anyway. Joey Cantillo had a much better game than the 4-inning, 3-run, 5 hits, 3 walks, 7K line. 7K should tell you a lot here. 15 whiffs, 36% CSW against the right-handed Astros across 84 pitches. His 4-seamer went 41% CSW. His changeup went 11 for 30 whiffs. He has a pitch count above 84. Now, he didn't execute pitches when he needed to. He wasn't efficient inside of at-bats. The Astros really fought well. Made this laborious, and he entered into the fifth, got those first two runners on, and then got pulled, and that means he had a bit of a careful Icarus here, is one earned run through the first four. I am very encouraged by this game from Joey Cantillo. He gets the White Sox on Sunday. That, to me, is a really good stream. He's going to be a probable starter there for Joey Cantillo. Circle that one. You have Jake Irvin against the Cardinals, and yeah, he's not in rhythm. And if Jake Irvin isn't in rhythm, oh my gosh, 14% curveball usage with just 29% strikes. Oh boy, 4 earned runs in 6 innings and 10 base runners with 4 walks and just 3 strikeouts. Logan Gilbert had a careful Icarus with a 3-run shot from Giancarlo Stanton in the 6th inning. That was really annoying. Logan Gilbert, can you not go 5.1 innings of 5 earned runs, 7 hits, 2 walks, and 5 Ks? You should be going Blake Snell blueprint. 4-seamers up, sliders down, it's... right there, and you still struggle to do it. So I can't give you the Aces gonna ace tag yet. I've been wanting to, but you haven't been acting like one. Let's go. Clay Holmes. Okay. The Adobe. 5 innings, 5 runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, and 5 Ks. And Clay Holmes has had a rough couple of weeks with walk rates and all of that. And at least he got 1 walk rate here. And he was actually only allowing 1 earned run through 5. And then he allowed the first 4 base runners on in the 6th. And that made it 5 earned runs. So I would be saying, hey, look, everything's fine with Clay Holmes. However, Sean Manaea is returning, and it looks like they are going to be piggybacking Sean Manaea with Clay Holmes, which makes sense. The Mets have made it clear that, hey, look, we're not trying to just go Clay Holmes every 5 days. We need to slow him down and make sure that he's all right after not starting last year. So when would you do that? Well, you would do that in July and some of August, as the Mets are preparing for a playoff run. You want him to then ramp up and be good for September, and of course then be ready for the playoffs. So you do it now, and if you're in fantasy, it could mean he's going after Manaea, which might be okay, but it does seem like to me that Clay Holmes is a drop at this point. You're not going to get the volume that you wanted before, and it's going to be a little bit more volatile. I just feel that Clay Holmes is also someone that you don't need to stash for September. Like, he's not an ace that you're going to hold on to for a month and then expect to get that great production later. It's not like the Ohtani situation, right? So Clay Holmes, you've already were kind of borderline, and now it's just like, all right, we're not going to do this. You have Jose Soriano against the Rangers, 4 innings, 5 earned runs, 3 hits, 5 walks, and 4 strikeouts. He's a hipster. My gosh. Poor execution, awesome stuff. Peas. His sinker is everything, right? If he has his good sinker, he can do well. He's gone 50-50 now for four starts. Really good, bad, really good, bad. And it was also two really good ones before the first one, but still four straight of just bup. And 47% strikes on the sinker here with a 13% NC rate is really bad. He can't have that high non-competitive rate. You got to get it down to 10% if this is the pitch for Soriano. He needed help here. He also didn't throw the curve against lefties. I don't know why. Like, the curve should be there to support the sinker, but he still threw so many of them. I don't understand why it was a 57% usage sinker when it was clearly not working. Anyway, Soriano is a coin flip hipster. It's up to you. I'm going to be dropping him unless a fair amount. And I imagine, you just pick and choose how you want to use him. Aaron Civale, 4 innings of 500 runs and 0 strikeouts and 9 base runners in 4 innings. You should not be trusting this guy. This was against the Jays. Yeah, he's not there. You have Nick Martinez against the Marlins, 5 innings of 10 earned runs. Oh my gosh, 10 base runners with 3 walks and 2 Ks. The changeup wasn't there. The curve had a 41% strike rate. The 4-seamer couldn't get above the 60% threshold of strikes. It was just bad. The Nick Martinez is a deep streaming option. We had that really good no-hit bid, and then we had a good follow-up. Now this is Miami, but the thing is, he gets Rocky Road. I think he should still do it against Rocky Road. I think it's going to be a questionable start, so fine. And this was a very much an off day, right? Two really good ones and then an off day. Like, okay, I'm not going to turn down Rocky Road with Nick Martinez. And then there's DDA Fuentes, who I've been trying to make work, and it was 1 inning of 800 runs and 5 hits, 2 walks, 2 Ks, and 40 pitches. So at some point, DDA Fuentes is going to actually be able to locate his 4-seamer well and his sweeper and hopefully something else. Probably not now. So just know that he exists. He had a 42% CSW at least on his 4-seamer. And that should be a very productive pitch upstairs at some point. But that was not the time. And last but not least, it's Hunter Brown. He went against the Guardians. 6 innings, 6 earned runs, 6 hits. Oh no, it's the signs. 3 walks and 3 Ks. Against the Guardians, what's going on here? 12 whiffs. Well, this ace is going to ace guy that I finally reluctantly gave him the tag. I've been saying that he needs more than the 4-seamer. And this was a game where we saw a 57% strike rate on that 4-seamer. So I was expecting the changeup or the cutter or the curve to come through. And none of them really did in a major way. And that's just kind of it. We are going to hand wave this one because 97 mile per hour fastballs are still there. And also, he had to throw more of these changeups and cutters than he expected to. He threw one cutter to a lefty, home run. He threw 9 changeups to lefties and one and allowed a home run. It's only because the 4-seamer just wasn't there and he had to throw something else. So, 4-seamer will be back. That's the one thing you can bank on from Hunter Brown. Everything is fine there. That is it for today. Please consider getting PL Pro. I can't emphasize this enough. We are building some incredible things. However, for us to really make the product that you want, the best way to get it in your hands is to support us. So get PL Pro today. You can get 15% off the promo code podcast. So go to pitcherlist.com/premium and sign up for PL Pro yearly at 15% off with promo code podcast. The PL Pro dashboard that we are making for your fantasy teams is something else. And we want to ensure that we are delivering it as you want for next season. So consider getting PL Pro now. It will last 365 days. So you will get this product. So help us make it. Go sign up today if you haven't at pitcherlist.com/premium and sign for 15% off with promo code podcast for PL Pro yearly. That is it for today. Thank you all so much for listening and subscribing. My name is Nick Pollock. And may your BABIP be low and your strikeouts high.